commented upon this subject matter. Srila Jiva Goswami, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti, and Srila Prabhupada himself. So we will read from Prabhupada's comments also on this point. So we started, the first time that he discusses about this is while defining Uttama Bhakti. Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam Anukulyena Krishnana Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. So in this, we focused on this Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam part, where Srila Rupa Goswami says, karma here refers to Nitya and Naimittika karmas. Nitya karmas are daily duties and period, and Naimittika karmas are periodic duties. So these are basically recommended according to one's varna and ashrama by the Dharma Shastras. Okay, Dharma Shastras, as we discussed yesterday, are essentially literatures which are meant for those who have karma nishta. So karma nishta means those who are qualified for karma. Right? And Manusmriti and other such literatures talk about it. Then we saw that second, we started discussing about the qualification for taking up to Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, because I think most of us would agree that at least all of us are practicing Vaidhi Sadhana only as of now. So, and we are going to discuss from this about Vaidhi Sadhaka only. We are not going to discuss about Bhava, Prema or even Raganuga for that matter. So, here Srila Rupa Goswami defines what is the qualification for taking up to Vaidhi Sadhana. He says the qualification for taking up to Vaidhi Sadhana is Shraddha. So, we saw four aspects of Shraddha yesterday. Shraddha means Shraddha in the process, faith in the Vaishnavas, faith in the Bhakti Shastras, books, and faith in the Parampara. Right? So these are the four aspects of faith. So if, and this faith we saw yesterday could be Uttama, Madhyama or Komala. Right? It could be weak faith, very pliant, very pliable faith also. Very basic understanding of Shastras. Not even understanding of Shastras. Basic acceptance that the Shastras, these Bhakti Shastras must be right. Without knowing much about the contents of the Bhakti Shastras, one may have faith in that. That Shraddha is good enough. So, even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teachings to Srila Sanatan Goswami, he says, actually, this comes after this definition of this word Shraddha. Shraddha Shabde Vishwasakohe Sudrida Nishchai Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Krita Hoy. So many times people quote this definition of Shraddha and he says, do you have Sudrida Nishchai Shraddha? Do you have Sudrida Nishchai Shraddha? But interestingly, if you read just few verses down the line, Srila Sanatan Goswami talks about Shraddhavan Janahai Bhakti Adhikari Uttama Madhyama Kanishta Shraddha Anusari. So he says that there are three levels of Shraddhavan. He quotes Kanishta Madhyama and Uttama and he gives the very same definitions. Yo Bhavet Komala Shraddha Sakanishto Nigadyate. Yes, Shastradi Anipuna Shraddhavan Satu Madhyama. So like that he defines all three Adhikaris. And he says that one who possesses this Sudrida Nishchaya Shraddha is of three types or three levels. And he says Kanishta Adhikari also has Sudrida Nishchaya Shraddha. So then what is the meaning of that Sudrida Nishchaya Shraddha? Jnana Karmadi Anavrita Shraddha. So basically, Sudrida Nishchaya means purity of faith. It does not talk about strength of faith. Right? Sudrida Nishchaya.
Intention, not intensity.
Yeah. It talks about the intention and not intensity of faith. right? So that is the meaning of sudhridanischay. If not, why would Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put the Kanishta Adhikari also within the category of Shraddhavan? So many times people say, but your faith is not sudhridanischay. So you cannot call yourself Shraddhavan. You do not possess that Shraddha. The only thing is they will have to read few verses down the line, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu clarifies to Sanatan Goswami there. Right? So, having understood, this is the... So, when we are talking about... So, next we discussed about duties expected of a qualified practitioner of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So, the reason why we discussed Uttama, Madhyama and Kanishta is to indicate that when we are talking about qualified person for Vaidhi Sadhana, we are including, or Rupa Goswami is including the Kanishta Adhikari also. Because in chronology, if you see, after discussing these three adhikaris, he discusses the first he discusses the qualification, Shraddha, and he says three categories of people who possess this Shraddha. Then he says, for those who possess this Shraddha, either at Kanishta intensity or Madhyama intensity or Uttama intensity, he says, these are the duties. These are the do's, these are the don'ts. What are the do's and don'ts? Yesterday we discussed. Right? We saw Jiva Goswami's Puro Paksha, you just mentioned that bhakti should be anyabhilashita shunyam, and you also mentioned that all human beings are qualified to practice Uttama Bhakti. And you also mentioned that varnashram, it should not be covered by jnana karma, jnana and karma adi, etc. So if everyone who is qualified for bhakti starts neglecting the varnashram duties, then isn't it sinful? Because the Bhagavad Gita says that it is sinful to neglect one's varnashram duties. The Dharma Shastra is very emphatically present that it is sinful to neglect one's varnashram duties. So if those who are qualified for bhakti neglect their varnashram duties, then isn't it sinful? So in response to this, and in that case, if it is sinful, should they perform some prayaschitta to atone for it? In response, Srila Rupa Goswami, we discussed yesterday, he mentioned, ananushtanato dosho bhakti anganam prajayate na karmanam akaranat esha bhakti adhikarina nishiddha acharato daivat prayaschittam tuna uchitam iti vaishnava shastranam rahasyam tadvidam matam. So he mentioned that bhakti anganam ananushtanato doshah prajayate. If one does not follow the essential limbs of bhakti, it leads to fault. Na karmanam akaranat. It is not a fault if at bhakti adhikari neglects to perform the essential limbs of varna and ashrama. Daivat, if by chance, nishiddha acharato, if he performs a forbidden activity, prayaschittam tu na uchitam. He should not be resorting to karmakandiya prayaschitta. He does not say he need not. He says he should not. Because if he does, it indicates not weak faith, but probably impure faith. Right. So, iti Vaishnava Shastranam Rahasyam Tadvidam Matam. This is the conclusion of those who understand the secret of Vaishnava scriptures. Right. Then, we discussed that in summary, we summarize that, so four things. He is at fault for failing to perform the essential limbs of bhakti, first 20, last 5. And he is not at fault for failing to perform the duties of varna and ashrama. If he commits a forbidden activity, then he need not perform karmakandiya prayaschitta. Therefore, for such a person, bhakti alone acts as the atonement. Right? Then we discuss the theme of what does it mean to not perform varnashram duties? Is a devotee irresponsible or ungrateful? This question comes. Because, you know, you receive from Deva, Rishi, Bhuta, Apta, Nrinam, Pitranam. So is a devotee ungrateful? And did Arjuna really follow the instruction of Sarvadharman Parityaji? Because he did follow his Varna Dharma and Ashrama Dharma after the battle of Kurukshetra. So did Krishna really want Arjuna to give up all his Varnashram duties? Or Did he ask him to change his paradigm? We discussed this yesterday. Right? So, to understand this, we saw from the second verse of Manasiksha, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami says, Nadharmam Nadharmam Shrutigana Niruktam Kilakuru Vraje Radha Krishna Prachura Paricharyami Hatanu. So he says that Na Dharmam Kuru, Na Adharmam Kuru Vraje Radha Krishna Prachura Paricharyami Hatanu. He says, don't rise above the platform of Dharma and Adharma and come to the platform of Anukulyasa Sankalpo Pratikulyasa Varjanam. What would please the Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan? Start thinking along those lines. So he's asking for a change of he's trying to change the paradigm. Paradigm of thinking, feeling and willing. Start changing the way you think, feel and will. So if you were a materialist before coming to bhakti, then give up this conception of raga sankalpo dvesha varjanam. I will accept whatever I like and I will reject whatever I dislike. Or if you are transcending from the platform of karma yoga to bhakti yoga, then give up this conception of dharmasya sankalpo adharmasya varjanam and come to the platform of anukulyasa sankalpo pratikulyasa varjanam. So in this context, we discuss some Venn diagrams, right? So we saw that when it comes to varnashrama and bhakti, in terms of activities, there could be certain overlap. And those overlapping activities, even though a person on the level of varnashram may see it as varnashram duties, but as we saw, Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls them the secondary principles of devotional service. He does not call them varnashram duties. He calls them secondary principles of varnashram, secondary principles of devotional service. Secondary principles means those which may not directly aid our affection for Krishna, but indirectly they assist. Like we saw the example of taking bath. So taking bath actually helps the mind remain peaceful and the body remains disease-free. So in this way, with a disease-free body and a peaceful mind, one can perform devotional service nicely. But the more one advances, the lesser and lesser he starts becoming dependent on these secondary principles. Right? And one can neglect them also. Neglect in the sense, not in a neglectful way, he starts becoming lesser and lesser dependent on them. Right? And we saw yesterday that how, in fact, not only between varnashram and bhakti, but between a materialistic activity, a varnashram activity and bhakti also there could be overlap. Right? So, and then we discuss what is the basis of varnashram system, haritoshanam, to please the Supreme Personality of God. That is the essence. And if you consider this, there are seven categories of people we saw who fall within the varnashram system, who worship Vishnu and who try to please Vishnu. Right? So these seven categories of people are first the Shuddha Bhakta. Then there is Karma Mishra Bhakta, Jnana Mishra Bhakta and Yoga Mishra Bhakta. These are the Pradhani Bhuta Bhaktas. And then there is Karma Yogi, Jnana Yogi and Ashtanga Yogi. These are the Guni Bhuta Bhaktas. Right? So all seven of them fall within the Varnashram system on the basis of worship of Vishnu. Right? So now the question is, do the Shastras recommend that everyone within this Varnashram system perform Varnashram duties as prescribed in the Dharma Shastras? So this is the question. So we tried to understand this from Bhagavad Gita only, where Bhagavad Gita talks about the Jnana Yogi. He says, Krishna says, Yastu Atmarati Revasyat, Atma Triptascha Manava, Atmanyevai Santushto, Tasya Karyam Na Vidyate. For a person qualified for Jnana Yoga, he need not perform his Varnashram duties. And for the Ashtanga Yogi also we saw, Arurukshor Muner Yogam Karmakarana Muchate, Yoga Rudasya Tasseva Shamakkarana Muchate. In the Yoga Rurukshu stage, when his heart is not yet purified, he needs to perform Varnashram duties to purify his heart. But when he comes to the Yoga Ruda stage, Dharana Dhyana Samadhi, he need not. Right? And what about the Bhakti Yogi? Krishna says, Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja. So we saw yesterday that if you see, according to these seven categories of people, only two categories of people, which is the Karma Yogi and the Karma Mishra Bhakta, are actually expected to perform their Varnashram duties. So, the question was, do the Shastras really recommend that everyone within the Varnashram system, that all these seven categories of people within the Varnashram system, are they expected to perform Varnashram duties as prescribed in the Dharma Shastras? So, Bhagavad Gita declines. Bhagavad Gita says, Jnana Yogi is not expected. An Ashtanga Yogi is expected only in the early stages till he reaches the stage of Dharana. Till he reaches Dharana, his heart is still impure. He has to purify it by performing Varnashram duties. And Bhakti Yogi, he says, Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. Right? So only the Karma Yogi and the Nishkama Karma Yogi are expected, and that too only not permanently. When the Karma Mishra Bhakta, by practice of Karma Mishra Bhakti, becomes either a Jnana Mishra Bhakta or a Yoga Mishra Bhakta, then he need not. So Nishkama Karma Yogi, so this Karma Yogi could be either Sakam or Nishkam. So they are expected to perform. But this Karma Yogi, by the dint of his practice of Karma Yoga, can either progress to the, become a Jnana Yogi or an Ashtanga Yogi, in which case they can give up. So this Karma Yoga, in one sense, is like the Yoga Rurukshu stage of either the Jnana Yoga or the Ashtanga Yoga. This is not a complete process in itself.
So this is, you made
this point. But this is based on Bhaktivinoda Vishwanatha Thakur's explanation. Yeah, the ladder, actually it is described, it is according to the explanation of Baldevidyabhushan. Vishwanatha Jagadakul does not explain it that way. The yoga ladder understanding is from Baldevidyabhushan's explanation. So then we discussed yesterday, first thing, before we understand whether we have to follow Varnashram, not follow Varnashram, first thing we should understand what is the role of Varnashram duties. What is the purpose? Without understanding the purpose, if we say we should practice, we should not practice, we should practice, we should not practice, then it would be like, once there was a marriage and cat came and the mother put the basket and the daughter saw, and when the daughter became mother, and when it was her daughter's marriage, she started, she thought it was a ritual because she didn't understand the purpose. She didn't realize that incidentally the cat came, it was not a part of the marriage ritual. She did not understand that. Right. So we have to understand what is the purpose of Varnashram duties. Right. So we saw from the commentaries by Baldevidyabhushan and Srila Prabhupada, where it is mentioned that the purpose of Varnashram duties is to purify the heart. So only till the heart remains impure and it has desires for enjoying in this world and lording it over material nature. So in order to purify the heart, one needs Varnashram duties. Once the heart gets purified, then one can transcend it. That is the explanation we saw from 3-4 purports and commentaries yesterday. I will not go over them. Then we discuss the next theme. If you say that purification of heart is the purpose of Varnashram duties, then how would a Bhakti Yogi's heart be purified if he neglects his Varnashram duties? Right? Because a Sadhaka's heart is not yet pure. So how is his heart going to be purified? We saw, that's what Rupa Goswami calls as Kleshagni. Right? Kleshagni means destruction of suffering. Suffering includes prarabdha and aprarabdha karma. But only destroying prarabdha and aprarabdha is not sufficient. One should also destroy the sinful desires and sinful vasanas. And in Bhaktirasam Sindhu, he describes step by step how practice of bhakti destroys sinful desires, sinful vasanas, everything. Right? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starts his Sikshashtakam by mentioning Cheto Darpanam Arjanam. Right? So the first benefit of chanting the holy name is it cleanses the heart of all material desires. So therefore, a Bhakti Yogi is not dependent on varnashram duties for purification of heart, at least. Right? So then we elaborately discuss this one verse. Shipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigachati kaunteya pratijane hi name bhakta pranashyati, where elaborately we saw from Vishnu Chakra Thakur Baldev Devabhushan Srila Prabhupada's purport as to how they explain that Krishna is guaranteeing purification through practice of bhakti. So very powerful purports, but we will move ahead. So this is where we ended our discussion yesterday. So to summarize, please remember these 4 points, because we are now going to read Srila Rupa Goswami's proofs for these 4 points. And you will have to identify which point is Rupa Goswami quoting here. Okay. The first point is, he is a Vaidhi Sadhaka is at fault for failing to perform the essential angas of bhakti. This is number one. He is not at fault for failing to perform the duties of varna and ashrama. This is number two. Number three, if he commits a forbidden activity, he need not perform the karmakandya prayaschitta. Actually, this is wrong. Actually, he should not. Prayaschittam to na uchitam, he says. Anuchit karma hai wo. Right? And for such a person, bhakti alone acts as his atonement. So these are the 4 points. So just remember 1, 2, 3, 4. He is not at fault for failing to perform the duties of varna and ashrama. Right? So now, let's go for the proofs for the duties expected of a qualified practitioner. So the verses which Srila Rupa Goswami is going to quote now are often quoted by all our acharyas. These are like very, very essential verses. Those which actually nourish our Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. Vaishnava Siddhanta, and more specifically our Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, is, you know, it nourishes the understanding. First verse. Sve sve adhikare yanishta saguna parikirtitaha viparyayastu doshasyad ubayor esha nishchaya. This comes in the 11th canto, Krishna's teachings to Uddhava, right? So see, Krishna says, sve sve adhikare yanishta saguna parikirtitaha. He has a very interesting way of defining guna and dosha. What is guna? He says, if there is a match of adhikar and activity, it is called as guna. What is approved action? If the person's action matches his qualification. And what is dosha? Dosha means when the adhikar does not match the activity, or the activity does not match the adhikar, then it is called as dosha. Very simple. This is a universal definition. This is not a bhakti definition. This is universal. Right? So if your qualification is karma, you follow the Dharma Shastras and do the activities prescribed in the Dharma Shastras. If you are qualified for Jnana, follow the Jnana Shastras and perform the activities prescribed in the Jnana Shastras. If you are qualified for Bhakti, then follow the Bhakti Shastras and perform the activities prescribed in the Bhakti Shastra. Very simple definition. Right? So now, Srila Jiva Goswami. Okay. What is Adhikar? So this is very nice point. So we will discuss adhikar. Okay. So I will just add one more slide here. Just to explain adhikar. Good you brought out this point. Of course, we will be discussing this in one of the later slides also, but still to make it little more clear, I will discuss it here. So, we will discuss what is adhikar. So, first thing, what is the qualification for sakama karma yoga? Adhikar. When we say adhikar, it is qualification. So, who is qualified for sakama karma yoga? Whoever has a desire to enjoy, he is qualified. Bhogavasana. So, I mean, piously enjoys one thing, but no, vikarma. Okay, yeah, you can say like that. No, one who has adhikar need not act according to his adhikar also. Right. So, then what is the qualification for nishkama karma yoga? When he desires liberation, but heart is not yet purified. So, he is qualified for Nishkama Karma Yoga. Right? So, he has to perform his Varnashram prescribed duties while being detached from the material fruits of that, while aspiring for liberation. So, this Nishkama Karma Yogi is not really Nishkama. Here, Nishkama means Muktikam, actually. Right? Now, what is the qualification for Jnana Yoga? So, Jnana Yoga is nothing but when the same aspiration is liberation, but heart is pure because of practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga. Right? And what is the qualification for Bhakti Yoga? Shraddha. Matkata shravanadavva shraddhaya vanna jayate. Right? So, faith in the four aspects of faith that we discussed yesterday. Right? So, this is adhikar. So these one and two should follow Dharma Shastras. Right? One and two. Because that's what defines their prescribed duties. And the third category of people should follow the Jnana Shastras. And the fourth category people, they have to follow the Bhakti Shastras. So, this is what Krishna says. Shraddham Bhagavate Shastre Anindam Anyatra Chapihi. Right? One should have faith in the Bhagavat Shastras or Bhakti Shastras, while at the same time Anindam Anyatra Chapihi. One should not have a critical attitude of other Shastras. One should not think that, oh, this Karma Shastras, Jnana Shastras are not meant for anyone. Everyone should follow Bhakti Shastra only. 11th Canto Uddhava Gita. So now, in this context, yeah.
That means adhikari depends upon one's what he wants to do.
What he wants? Not only his conviction, but also qualification.
Where he is.
Yeah. Like for example, a Nishkama Karma Yogi, he also desires liberation. A Jnana Yogi also desires liberation. But a Nishkama Karma Yogi cannot follow the Jnana Shastras because heart is not yet purified. So, aspiration is same, but the qualification is not there. Like that. So, one should have the aspiration and the qualification also. The only process in which there is only two processes require only aspiration and no qualification. One is four, another is one. Right? So, all you need is aspiration to enjoy, to be a Sakama Karma Yogi. And in Bhakti Yoga, all you need is the aspiration to please Krishna. There is no other qualification that is needed. Right? So, in this context, we understood Sve Sve Adhikare Yanishta Saguna Parikirtita. One should act according to one's Adhikar. Srila Jiva Goswami commenting on this, he says, with the words Sve Sve Adhikare, different qualifications are signified for Karma, Jnana and Bhakti. Next line is very important. For the person qualified for pure Bhakti, what is the qualification for pure bhakti? Shraddha. right? Performance of the actions of karma or jnana and failure to perform bhakti are both faults, right? So now this verse proves which of the four statements? First, one and two, right? If you neglect to perform bhakti activities, it is a fault. And if you think that I should be performing varnashram duties, that is a fault, right? Now, next. Next verse. This is famous verse. This is teachings of Navayogendras to Nimi Maharaj. Swapadamulam bhajata priyasya tyaktanya bhavasya hari pareshaha vikarma yachot patitam katanchit dhunoti sarvam hridi sannivishtaha. So, swapadamulam bhajataha indicates anukulyena krishnanushilanam, right? And tyakta anya bhavasya indicates anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyana anavrutam. Tyakta anya bhavasya. He has no other bhav, which means he is not aspiring for any other, he does not have any other abhilasha, and at the same time, he is not trying to attain that through jnana, karma, yoga, etc. Right? Now, this verse says, vikarma yaccha utpatitam katanchit. Katanchit, somehow or other, if he performs some vikarma or forbidden activity, dhunoti sarvam hridi sannivishta. The Lord who is present within his heart purifies his heart. Which? Three and four, right? Three is he should not be resorting to any karmakandiya prayaschitta. And fourth is bhakti alone acts as the atonement. Correct? Now, next verse. Again, Uddhava Gita. Tasman mad bhakti yuktasya yogino vai madatmanah na jnanam na cha vairagyam prayashreyo bhavediha. So he says, tasmad, therefore, yogino madbhakti yuktasya, for a bhakti yogi who is engaged in my service, madatmanaha, whose mind is fixed in me, jnanam cha vairagyam, na prayaha shreyo bhavediha. Either jnana or vairagya, this includes jnana, vairagya, karma, everything, is the shreyo bhavediha, is the means of attaining perfection in this material world. Two is direct, right? He should not be, he is not at fault for not performing duties of varna and ashrama. And one is implied, right? Because he has to perform something to attain perfection. That's what is indicated by madbhakti yuktasya, right? One is implied and two is directly indicated. Right. Next, this is a very, very, very important verse. So this verse talks about till when varnashram is valid. So this is a very important verse. So this verse says, Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata matkata shravanadavva shraddha yavan na jayate. So, tavat karmani kurvita. One should perform varnashram. Varnashram should be performed. Till when? Na nirvidyeta yavata. Na nirvidyeta yavata means, till one develops complete detachment from this material world. This is the qualification for jnana yoga. Okay? Matkata shravanadavva shraddha. This is the qualification for bhakti yoga, right? Faith in hearing the subject matter about Krishna. Na jayate, yavan na jayate. Till one achieves either qualification 1 or qualification 2. So qualification 1 is qualification for jnana yoga and qualification 2 is qualification for bhakti yoga. Either he should get qualification for 1 or 2. If both qualifications are not there, tavat karmani kurvita, he should perform his varnashram duties. Either by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, his heart must have become purified, because of which he has become completely detached from the material world. Na nirvidyeta, nirvit, he has developed that complete detachment. Or, matkata sharvanadavva shraddha. Yavanna Jayate. Till he develops one of these two qualifications, he should be practicing varnashram duties. So this proves second, right? Second is direct. Directly second is indicated.
No call to
fail varnashram. Yeah, yeah. Another famous verse, you all know this verse from the first chapter, first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, teachings of Narada Muni to Vyasadev. Tyaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajan apakvo tapate tato yadi yatrakvava badram abudamushyakim kovarta apto abhajatam swadharmatah. So he says, tyaktva swadharmam. If you give up your varnashram duties, charanam bhujam harer bhajan, but worship the lotus feet of Krishna, apakvo tapatet. And even before that devotional service matures, if one may give up his body or momentarily give up his practice also, yatrakva vabhadram, what is the loss, are indicating there is no loss. So the first two lines indicate, it proves two, right? Two directly and one indirectly. Tyaktva swadharmam indicates two. He has given up varnashram duties. But charanambujam harer bhajan, he has to worship the lotus feet. So one. So one and two are proved in the first two lines only. And again, this is re-emphasized in the third and fourth line. Kovarta apto abhajatam swadharmatah, in the fourth line. He says, kova artha apto abhajatam swadharmatah. He may perfectly perform varnashram duties, but if he does not worship the Supreme Lord, he does not gain anything. This indicates, again one and two are indicated, right?
So one is bhakti, second is
varnashram.
No varnashram.
Yeah. So here he says, you may perfectly perform varnashram, but if you don't perform bhakti, there is no result gained.
What is four?
Four is bhakti alone acts as the atonement in case if he commits a forbidden activity.
And
third is not to do karmakandiya prayaschitta. Right? Now, next verse. This is also from Uddhava Gita. So almost in our acharyas, when they want to establish Siddhanta, 80% of the time they quote from Uddhava Gita only, 11th canto. All the Siddhanta verses are from Uddhava Gita. Agnyayevam gunan doshan mayadishtana piswakan dharman santyajya yassarvan mam bhajet satu sattama. So this is a very interesting verse. This is the Bhagavatam version of sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. So this verse says, agnyayeva gunan doshan. A devotee, agnyaya, he understands guna and dosha. What guna and dosha he understands? He understands the benefit of performing varnashram duties, that how it purifies the heart. He knows that. And he knows the fault of neglecting to perform the varnashram duties, which is there will not be purification of heart. One will become sinful. So he understands that. A bhakti yogi understands. Why? Mayadishtan apiswakan. He understands that because Krishna has created the system of varna and ashrama. Chaturvarnyam mayasrishtam gunakarma vibhagasha. So Krishna has created, he knows. And the rules of varna and ashrama have also been created by Krishna. So therefore, he knows that the system is very potent. If you practice varnashram, you will progress. If you neglect varnashram, you will fall down. A devotee knows. After knowing, what does he do? Dharman santajya yas sarvan. Sarva dharman parityajya. Mam bhajet, mam ekam sharanam vraja. And what is Krishna's conclusion about such a person? Such a sattama, he is the best amongst all. Right? He is best amongst all practitioners. So, it's not that a devotee does not know or does not respect the system of varnashrama. He understands that it's a very potent system. Then why is he not performing? Right? he is not performing because he is following a higher rule. Because he understands that rules in the scriptures are according to Adhikar. So he understands that for my Adhikar, this is the instruction. But for someone who has a different Adhikar, there is a different instruction. Right? So therefore he gives it up. Next quotation is also from 11th canto. Devarshi bhutapta nrinam pitrinam nakin karo nayam rini charajan sarvatmanaya sharanam sharanyam gato mukundam parihritya kartam. He says, yaha gato mukundam sharanam, one who takes shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, sharanyam, who is definitely capable of giving that shelter, parihritya kartam, after giving up all kinds of obligations, sarvatmana, and has taken to the path in all seriousness. So many times people ask, is your surrender sarvatmana? Is your surrender in all seriousness? So here sarvatmana indicates jnana karmadi anavritam. So, here sarvatmana does not refer to the strength of one's surrender. It indicates purity of surrender. If you say sarvatmana means strength of surrender, and if you say that your surrender is not strong enough, so what is the solution? Make it strong. That is the only solution. So, if your surrender is not strong, the solution is not make it impure. That is never the suggestion of any of our acharyas. If it is not strong enough, take support from karma, jnana and yoga. That is not anywhere mentioned. The mention is if it is not strong enough, take support of bhakti more. Take support of the association of devotees. Right? Only then, shraddha will become sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anartana vritti, nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhava, prema. But if we take support from other paths, then Shraddha will not become anartana vritti, nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhava, prema. It will take some other path, right? It may become karma mishra bhakti will become jnana mishra bhakti will become shantarati or something like that. So the path itself will change, right? So he says that nakin karo nayam rini charajan. He owes neither duties nor obligations to the demigods, sages, general living entities, family members, humankind, or forefathers. Right? So, here he says, giving up all obligations here means that the devotee rejects the distraction of one's attention caused by thinking that Indra and Chandra must be worshipped. So, not that the devotee does not feel, he has a sense of obligation. He definitely feels obligated, he definitely feels grateful, but he knows how to fulfill that obligation by watering the root. Right? Yatataror mula nishechanena trupyanti tatskanda bujo bashaka. He knows that if I water the root, all the branches and twigs and flowers and fruits and leaves will get the water. I need not individually. So therefore, when someone is watering the root, it does not mean he is unconcerned about the leaves, flowers and fruits. He just knows the real science of nourishing the fruits and flowers. Right? So therefore, this verse does not mean to say that a devotee should have a very callous attitude towards one's obligation to others, or one should not feel obligated towards others. Rather, with a grateful heart, he knows how to fulfill that obligation, right? Having surrendered, that person has destroyed all prarabdha karmas. Okay? And consequently, destroys being situated in varanashram. Since he has no material gunas. Since he has no material gunas means what? His faith is pure, right? Someone may say, no. This is an extrapolated explanation. He is beyond gunas means clearly here he is talking about a person at the stage of bhava bhakti or prema bhakti. Someone may say that. Fine. If that is the proposal, then why is Rupa Goswami quoting this verse in the section on Vaidisadhana Bhakti? Then it is not a verse meant to be quoted in Vaidisadhana Bhakti. He should be quoting it in Bhava Bhakti only. Right? But here, he is quoting this verse and Jiva Goswami is commenting according to the context of presentation. Right? So that person is no longer obliged to perform Varnashram duties. So therefore, when a devotee may not perform, may not ask the Dharma Shastras to explain, tell me what my duties are, not because of disrespect to the Dharma Shastras or the system of Varna and Ashrama, but just that he understands that he gets his guidance from different Shastras, from the Bhakti Shastras. Shraddham Bhagavate Shastre Anindam Anyatra Chapihi. Right? Now, let's come to the last verse that Srila Rupa Goswami quotes, which is Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Yishyami Mashuchaha. So, Sarva Dharman Parityajya, by giving up all dharmas, Mamekam Sharanam Raja, surrender unto me alone. Aham Tvam Moksha Yishyami, I will deliver you. Sarva Papebhyo, from all sins, Mashuchaha, do not worry. Huh? All four, right? 1, 2, 3, 4. All four are fulfilled here. Right?
Which line is which one?
So, Sarvadharman Parityajya is 2. Mamekam Sharanam Vraja is 1. Aham Tvam Sarvapapebhyo Mokshayishyami is 4th directly. You can say 3 is implied. Right? Now, this is an amazing explanation of this verse by Srila Vishwanatha Thakur and Srila Prabhupada. We will read this. Line to line. Every line is potent. So now, what is the verse that Krishna speaks before this? Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru, right? And Vishwanatha Thakur says, after Krishna speaks this verse, Arjuna gets a question to Krishna. So Arjuna asks, my dear Krishna, you told manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Now you tell me, am I supposed to perform the meditation manmana, right? And other processes along with my varnashram duties or without them? This is the question that Arjuna asks Krishna. So Krishna says, giving up all duties of varna and ashrama, sarvadharman parityajya, surrender only to me. This is Krishna's answer, right? So someone may say, Purvapaksha. So the Purvapaksha argument is that, oh, Sarvadharman Parityajya means he is indicating sannyas. One should not say Parityajya means sannyas, to adopt the sannyas order, because Arjuna was a Kshatriya, not qualified for sannyas. So for the sannyas order, only Brahmanas are qualified. Kshatriyas are qualified only till Vanaprastha, right? So you cannot say that Sarvadharman Parityajya means give up all dharma and take up to sannyas. So this is not a recommendation that is valid for Arjuna. Now, you may say, no, we know that it is not valid for Arjuna, but using Arjuna, Krishna is instructing the Brahmanas. So this seems very illogical, because at the end of a scripture, when you are concluding the book, why would you give an instruction which is so provincial, which is only meant for the Brahmanas and not for the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras and the Antyajas. Right? So he says that as well, it should not be said that the Lord used Arjuna just to instruct all other people who are not Kshatriyas to take sannyas. All other people means only Brahmanas. Right? For Arjuna was qualified to be recipient of Lord's instructions which could not be taught to others. He was also qualified to receive personal instructions. Nor one should explain. Someone may say, look, we are not telling that you should take sannyas. Sarvadharman Parityaja means karma falatyag. So this is the second Purvapaksha. Right? It just means karma falatyag. Perform the action, give up the fruits. Like Krishna told, karmanyevadikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana, he said. That's what he means here. Sarva karma falatyagas tatakkuru yatatmavan. So, someone may explain like this. So, Srila Vishnu Jagadakur, now he says, no, this is not the way this should be understood. How this should be understood? Based on the following verses. And he quotes verses from Bhagavatam. He quotes, Devarshi Bhutaptananam Pitranam Nakinkaro Nayam Ranicharajam. Because we have already seen that verse, we are not seeing it again. And then another verse, Martyo Yada Tyakta Samasta Karma Niveditatma Vichikirshitome Tada Amritatvam Pratibadhyamano Mayatma Bhuyaya Chakalpatevai. Martyo Yada Tyakta Samasta Karma Niveditatma Vichikirshitome. This also indicates the same thing. Here, Tyakta Samasta Karma actually indicates giving up Varnashram duties and not just fruits of those duties. Right? Again, he quotes, Tavat Karmani Kurvita is quoted. Ajna evam gunan doshan maya adishtana piswakan is quoted. So all these verses, we have already seen the explanations. Right? So these verses are quoted by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in the commentary to Sarvadharman Parityajya and explaining that the meaning of Sarvadharman Parityajya should be understood based on these verses, which indicate that actually the varnashram duty should be given up and not just the fruits of those activities. The meaning of the word should thus be explained using all these statements of the Lord with no contradiction. The meaning can indeed be understood correctly by the prefix pari, which means completely. So it should be completely given up. Right? Surrender only to me, mam ekam sharanam vraja. This means that there should be no worship of the devatas, there should be no ashtanga yoga, no jnana or dharma or other elements in that surrender. Jnana karmadi anavrita bhakti. Right? And he says, and by following my orders, you should not fear some loss on your part in giving up the nitya and naimitika karmas. Don't think that if you give up nitya naimitika karmas, even though the dharma shastras say that it is sinful, you don't have to worry about the sin. The order to perform these nitya karmas was given by me in the form of Vedas. I only gave to a section of people, I only told that you should perform your varnashram duties. Now, I am ordering you to give them all up completely. This is my order. For them, that is the order. For you, this is the order. Right? Is there sin in not performing your nitya karmas? He says, no. This is a very powerful statement. Is there sin in not performing your nitya karmas? Krishna says, no. Rather, the opposite. In performing nitya karmas, you will commit sin. Because of disobeying my direct order. So this is also an aparad, right? So if you think that, look, Krishna here says I should perform bhakti, I am performing. Elsewhere he says I should perform nitya karma, I will perform that also, na? So he says, no, you should understand what is meant for you. And you follow only that. Right? This is the direct order. Yeah. Correct, na? That's why exactly that's what Sarvam Bhattacharya says. Prataprada Maharaj. Prabhu Raksha Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says that when the direct order is there, where is the paroksha? That is a paroksha order. This is direct order, like that. So then, starting today, if I surrender to you, this is Arjuna's fear. Arjuna is expressing a fear here. Look, because you recommended, starting today, I will surrender to you. Then I will do whatever you say. Right? I will do whatever you say, whether it is good or bad. So, if you make me perform dharma, then I will not worry at all. You tell me, Arjuna, fight. Mera varna duty, I will fight. Arjuna, take care of your family. My ashrama duty, I will do it. There is no adharma involved. But if you engage me in adharma, since you are the Supreme Lord and you can do whatever you want, then what will happen to me? You are the Supreme Lord, you can give instructions, you can get away. But on your instructions, if I perform adharma, what will happen to me? Krishna says, Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami. I will free you from all sinful reactions, from whatever reactions exist from the far past and recent past, and from whatever reactions arise from acts I will make you perform in the future. Everything will be destroyed. He says, this is not impossible for me to do, though it cannot be done by anyone else whom you surrender to. If you surrender to the devatas, they cannot tell sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja. They themselves will be put to task for giving such an order. Right? So they cannot give such an order also. What to speak of fulfilling that order? Taking you as the means, I am giving instructions to the whole world. Do not feel grief for your welfare or for that of others. I am taking responsibility. May you and all other people, giving up all dharmas, yours, your own and everyone else's also, absorbing your thoughts and actions in me, surrendering to me, remain in contentment. Shantraho, be peaceful. You just perform your bhakti. I myself have accepted the burden of freeing you from sin and freeing you from samsara. I have taken the responsibility of carrying your responsibilities. Where does Krishna say this? Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paryupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyam. So, I will carry what you lack, what you have, and I will provide what you lack. So, why do you worry? Right? Do not lament thinking. So, someone may say, "Are, I am a devotee, how can I ask Krishna to carry my burden?" So, Krishna says, "Are, it's a pleasure for me. Why you are depriving me of doing that?" He says, do not lament thinking, oh, I have thrown my own burden on my master. So Krishna says, it is no strain at all for me who am most affectionate to my devotee. Nothing else remains to be instructed. Vishnu Jagadagur says, nothing else remains to be instructed. The scripture has been concluded here. Like that. So this is the commentary to Sarvadharman Parityajya in Bhagavad Gita. So Jiva Goswami gives his commentary to Sarvadharman Parityajya in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, short commentary. He says, which is very much echoing the point that Srila Vishnu Jagadagur has made in this commentary. He says, the word pari, so the Sanskrit prefix pari is equivalent to the English prefix peri, as in perimeter. Perimeter means from all sides, right? The word pari fully should be understood to mean that the rejection should be complete. Are kali itna kar leta hu, matlab extra in addition navada bhakti ke upar karunga main. He says no, pari, which means give up the conception, right? And very interesting insight Jiva Goswami is giving here. I will free you from all sins means I will free you from all impediments to bhakti. Someone may say, oh, this is a very extrapolated explanation. No, because there is no sin for them, because those with faith in bhakti give up the duties of dharma by the order of the Lord. Because under the order of the Lord only they are giving the duties of varna and ashrama. Why would the Lord penalize them with sin and then eradicate that sin? Right? That makes no sense. He says, if you are following the order of Krishna, why would there be sin in following the order of Krishna? So therefore he says, you fearlessly follow my order, I will remove all the obstacles of bhakti. That's what it means. Right? So this is the section, second section, where Srila Rupa Goswami discusses about the role of varnashram duties for practicing sadhakas. Right? Now we will discuss the third section. After discussing the 64 limbs of devotional service, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions, the first point that he mentions is, varnashram duties are not limbs of bhakti. Again, third time he is repeating the same thing. But very interesting insights he presents here. He says, sammatam bhakti vijnanam bhakti angatvam na karmanam. He says, sammatam, there is consensus, there is no ambiguity. That is, everyone agree. Bhakti Vijnanam, the consensus of those knowledgeable of bhakti is that karmanam na bhakti angatvam, that varnashram duties are not anga of bhakti. Right? That karma is not an anga of bhakti. This is very clear presentation. So, but the Purva Paksha will not leave this, right? They will present their own arguments. What is the Purva Paksha argument here? And they are not going to present arguments without proof. They will have their own proof. What is the proof? Someone may argue as follows. True, there is glorification of all the angas of pure bhakti above all process, but Parashar has glorified karma as well. Parashar Muni, where he has glorified karma? In Vishnu Puran. What does he say? Varna shrama charavata purushena parappuman Vishnur aradhyate panta nanyatattosha karanam. He says, parappuman Vishnu, the Supreme Lord Vishnu, purushena aradhyate, is to be worshipped by a man. How does he worship Vishnu? Varnashrama acharavata. Through the duties of Varnashram, the Supreme Lord Vishnu is worshipped. This is still okay. See what he says in the next line. Na anyat panta tattosha karanam. There is no other path for satisfying the Supreme Lord. So how should you satisfy the Supreme Lord? By performing Varnashram duties. Okay. So the Purva Paksha presents this verse. Now, there are only two possibilities. Here, Parashara Muni says that Varnashram duties are limbs of bhakti. Because bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayutapaya, that's what you say. He is pleased only by bhakti. Right? And here, if he is pleased only by bhakti, and here you say, Varnashram acharavata tattosha karanam. By performing Varnashram duties is the only way of pleasing Vishnu. Right? So now, if you put these two statements together, what is the conclusion? Varnashram is a limb of bhakti. This is their presentation. So this, if this is the conclusion, then either two things. Either Rupa Goswami is wrong when he says, Sammatam bhakti vijnanam bhakti angatvam na karmanam. When he says that Varnashram is not a limb of bhakti, Rupa Goswami is wrong. Or, Parashar Muni cannot be accepted to be a bhakti vigya, a knower of bhakti, because he is presenting such conclusions. Right? So how would you resolve it without having to prove either of these two statements? Rupa Goswami is wrong in mentioning that Varnashram duties are limbs, are not limbs of bhakti. Or Parashar Muni does not know bhakti. That is the point. He says, this Vishnu Puran verse substantiates that karma is an anga of bhakti, for in that verse there is evident approval for worshipping Vishnu in combination with Varnashram dharmas, Varnashram activities. Right? However, the author here refers to Rupa Goswami. Right? States that the consensus of those thoroughly experienced in bhakti, the pure devotees, including Parashar, is otherwise. He says that the conclusion of Parashar Muni is otherwise, that Varnashram is not an anga of bhakti. So now he says, now Jiva Goswami says, look, let me now quote one more verse from Vishnu Puran. Now you Purva Paksha, you explain this verse. This also Parashar Muni only has told about Bharat Maharaj. What he has told? Yajnesha Chuta Govinda Madhavananta Keshava Krishna Vishnu Rishiketi Aharaja Sakevalam Nanyad Jagada Maitreya Kinchit Swapnantareshvapi. He says, O Maitreya, King Bharat simply said Aha Kevalam Yajnesha Achyuta Govinda Madhava Ananta Keshava Krishna Vishnu Rishikesha Iti Na Anyad Jagada Kinchit. He did not speak anything else. Swapnantareshvapi, even in his dreams. So if even in his dreams, at every moment, Bharat Maharaj was chanting the holy names, then when did he have the time to perform his Varnashram duties? Correct? So, he says, thus, the statement quoted from Vishnu Puran that approves Varnashrama as bhakti has been spoken only to encourage those persons who are not qualified for pure bhakti. Because which means he was constantly chanting the holy names, which means he was performing the limbs of bhakti continuously, which means he was not practicing Varnashram duties. So now, but it's not explicit there, but it is explained by Jiva Goswami. And then he gives the explanation also that go to that section of Vishnu Puran and find out, you will realize that that instruction, Varanashrama Acharvata Purushena Parappuman Vishnur Aradhyate Panta Nanyatattoshakaranam, is not an instruction that is meant for practicing pure devotees. It is meant for Karma Mishra Bhaktas. Purva Apara Anurodena Konvarto Abhimato Bhavet Iti Adhyam Uhanam Tarkaha Shushka Tarkam Tu Varjayet. How should one understand Shastra? He says, Purva Apara Anurodena Konvarto Abhimato Bhavet. One should know what was spoken before, what was spoken later, who spoke, to whom did he speak to, was it spoken in as an instruction, was it spoken in jest, was it spoken in a sarcastic mood, all of that one has to know. Otherwise, not every statement in Shastra need to be siddhantically right, especially when it is spoken in jest, sarcasm, right? Sarcastic statements need not be necessarily, supporting the Siddhanta. Unless, Mother Saraswati gives an alternative meaning, indirect meaning from which you come to the Siddhanta. But otherwise, in general, there could be verses spoken even by Krishna also, right? There are many, like Govardhan Leela and so many other things, right? So, here, again, he quotes this verse, Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata Matkata Shravana Dhava Shraddha Yavanna Jayate. He says the ultimate siddhantic verse for practicing devotees is not Tavat Karmani Kurvita. Sorry, it's not Varnashrama Acharvata Purushena Parapuman. He says this is the verse. Tavat Karmani Kurvita na Nirvidyate Yavata. Till when one is qualified for Varnashram duties, right? Either na Nirvidyate Yavata, you become qualified for Jnana Yoga, or Matkata Shravanadavva Shraddha, become qualified for Bhakti Yoga. Right? This verse explains the circumstances in which the performance of Varnashram is applicable. Because one should perform Varnashram duties until one reaches detachment from enjoyment and develops faith in Bhakti, directions are given to engage in Varnashram. Right? Thus, the verse spoken by Parashar thus means that because Vishnu is worshipped by a person who follows Varnashram duties, that path and no other is satisfying to Vishnu. This of course refers to a person who has no faith in Bhakti. So which means, he says, look, I know you are inclined to perform Varnashram, but if you neglect to worship, if you neglect Vishnu Aradhana, then you will not get success. That is the focus of that verse. The focus of that verse is not Varnashrama Acharavata. Focus of that verse is Vishnur Aradhyate. Why? It is meant for a person who has inclination for Varnashram and not for Bhakti. Right? But Parashar Muni, he quotes further verses quoted by Parashar Muni to establish that actually Parashar Muni was a Bhakti Vigya. He knew the conclusions of Bhakti. So he quotes another verse spoken by Parashar Muni in a scripture called Vishnu Dharma. He says, Sahanistad mahachidram samohas sacha vibrama yan muhurtam shanam vapi vasudevam nakirtayet. Even if for a moment the remembrance of Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is missed, it is the greatest loss, it is the greatest fault, the greatest illusion, and the greatest anomaly. So even if for a moment, if one does not remember Vasudev, then it is the greatest loss, it is the greatest fault, greatest illusion, and greatest anomaly. Who says? Parashar Muni only says. So how can he not be a Bhakti Vigya? He's a Bhakti Vigya only. right? So the commentary says that karmani means daily and periodic duties of varnashram. But the scriptures say, look, this is Purva Paksha. They quote this verse. This is a very powerful verse. It has to be understood properly. Where Krishna says, Shruti Smriti Mamaivagne Yaste Ullangya Vartate Agnya Chedi Mamadveshi Madbhaktopi Na Vaishnava. This is a very interesting verse. Where the Lord says, Yaha Shruti Smriti Ullangya Vartate, who disregards Shruti and Smriti scriptures, which actually talk about Varnashram duties, Mama Eva Agnya, which are all my instructions only, if you disregard them, Agnya Chedi, he is a breaker of my order. Mama Dveshi, he hates me. Mad Bhaktopi Na Vaishnava, even if he is my devotee, he is not a Vaishnava, Krishna says. So this is quoted in Bhakti Rasam Sindhu also. This is probably from Skanda Purandu. I'll find that out. It's not quoted here. So this is a verse which the Lord himself says, if you disregard the Shruti and Smriti Shastras. But Jiva Goswami says, however, this does not apply to the devotee because the devotee is following another order. Where is the devotee not inclined to perform the order of the Lord? He is following a higher order, Sarva Dharman Parityajya. He breaks the first order to perform Varnashram only because he is following another order of the Lord, which is based on detachment from material enjoyment and faith in bhakti. Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyate yavata. Right? Srila Prabhupada, commenting on this verse, on this section of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Prabhupada writes, some scholars argue that simply by following the principles of Varna and Ashrama, one can gradually rise to the perfections reached by practicing devotional service. But this argument is not accepted by great authorities. Sammatam bhakti vijnanam bhakti angatvam na karmanam. Right? Lord Chaitanya also condemned this idea while he was talking with Ramananda Rai about the gradual development of devotional service. He quoted in fact this verse only. Varanashrama Charvata was the first verse he quoted. He rejected the idea of the importance of Varanashram Dharma when it was put forward by Ramananda Rai. He said that this advancement of Varna and Ashrama is merely external. There is a higher principle. Eho Bahya Age Kaha Ar. In Bhagavad Gita also, the Lord says that one has to give up all principles of elevation and take simply to the method of Krishna consciousness. Sarva Dharman Parityajya. That will help one in achieving the highest perfection of life. In the 11th canto, Prabhupada quotes this verse. What is this verse? Swapadamulam bhajata priyasya tektanya bhavasya hari pareshah vikarma yachot patitam katanchit dhunoti sarvam hridi sannivishta. Sorry, this is tavat karmani kurvita. I am sorry. This is tavat karmani kurvita. Right. In other words, the prescribed forms of varna and ashrama are ritualistic ceremonies of religion intended for economic development, sense gratification and salvation. Right. This is for dharma, artha, kama and moksha. Dharma is meant for artha, kama and moksha. Right? All of these things are recommended for persons who have not developed Krishna consciousness. In fact, all such activities are recommended in the revealed scriptures only to bring one to the point of Krishna consciousness. But one who has already developed spontaneous attachment for Krishna does not require to execute the duties prescribed in the scriptures. Duties here refers to varna, varnashram. Again, you should not say spontaneous attachment here refers to raga, because this section we are discussing is Vaidhi Sadhana only. So spontaneous attraction means Shraddha, faith. Matkata Shravanadavva Shraddha. Like that. So now, this is from the presentation of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as the framework, but we saw from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam also. But now coming to the main part of our discussion. All said and done, Srila Prabhupada did say that 50% of his mission is establishing Varnashram. How do we understand this? Right? Now, whatever could be the understanding, we will see there could be hundreds of ways in which this could be understood. Okay? right from Prabhupada's own words. We will, as a sample, we will discuss three possibilities. But the main point is, you should explain it in such a way that you don't show Prabhupada to be contradicting the conclusions of Rupa Goswami, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhagavatam, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Bhagavad Gita and all these, right? So you cannot, then that becomes a very cultish understanding of our own movement, right? Like, doesn't matter what other people say. What Prabhupada says, only that matters. I mean, that is very good. But, I mean, we would say, one of the very reasons why we surrender to Prabhupada is his chaste attachment to a bona fide parampara. Right? So you cannot divorce that and say, it does not matter what the parampara says, we will accept only what Prabhupada says. Right? We cannot say that. So, Prabhupada did say, but we should understand Prabhupada's words in a way that it is in alignment with the conclusions of our acharyas. So, let's see, I will give three examples. As I mentioned, there could be hundreds of ways in which this could be understood. Multiple purposes can be accomplished by establishing Varnashrama, which are not disaligned with the conclusions of our acharyas. Right? So, let us see three. I'll give three examples. First option, establishing Varnashram institution as a stepping stone for the outsiders to take up to Shuddha Bhakti. So this we will see, one of the morning walks Prabhupada had in Mayapur, not very early, in 1976, just 1 year before he passed away. Okay, let's see. This is a morning walk where Prabhupada discusses mainly with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Of course, other devotees are also there. Very interesting discussion. Prabhupada says, 1976, Mayapur. No, ISKCON is not going to be social reformer. But as far as possible, we can help. Our main business is how to make everyone Krishna conscious. That is our business. We cannot take up, but if possible, we can take up all the system of Varnashrama. Right? Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, if Varnashrama is neglected, then how can there be proper functioning of society? Prabhupada said, no. If the society chants Hare Krishna seriously, then it is all right. Never mind whatever is done, it does not matter. Papi tapi jata chilo hariname uddharilo. Even whatever Tara Sakshi Jagai Madai. Even Jagai and Madai could be delivered by the holy name. This is the power of Hari Sankirtan. If one is absorbed in Krishna consciousness, so all benefit is there. So long in the bodily concept of life, we require this Varnashram Dharma. Otherwise, there is no necessity. So now, someone may say, have you transcended the bodily concept of life? So therefore, you need Varnashram, because Prabhupada himself says. Now, Prabhupada, interestingly, you see what he is quoting to support this. Prabhupada is quoting, Papi Tapi Jata Chilo Hariname Uddharilo. Right? So now these Papi Tapis, are they in bodily concept of life or not? Right? So, when Prabhupada says bodily concept of life, it is on the platform of faith, conviction. Right? Not on the platform of, you know, to overcome our conditioning of responding on the bodily platform, it will take some time, but at least we are convinced and we are willing to transcend the platform and come to the transcendental platform. So, Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, yes. Then Prabhupada says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have read in the 8th chapter, Madhya Leela, talk between Ramananda Raya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, perfectional life, how it begins. So, this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks Ramananda Raya. This question was raised by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Raya replied, it begins with the Varnashram Dharma, regulated social life. Varnashrama Acharavata Purushena Parappuman. Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, he rejected that. Prabhupada says, not rejected. Yes, it is not very important. Eho bahya. This is external. Age kaha ar. If you know something more, he says. So, Prabhupada says, The Varnashram Dharma is a good help, undoubtedly, but it is not important for Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, how could I start this movement in the Western country? There was no Varnashram Dharma. Right? But that did not hamper my movement. Now people are surprised how these people have become such great devotees. So it was not based on Varnashram Dharma. No, because the whole movement is spiritual. It starts from the spiritual understanding. Aham Brahmasmi, Jivera Swarupoi Krishna Nityadas. Okay. Samashritaye Padapallava Plavam Mahatpadam Punyesho Murare Bhavambudir Vatsapadam Parampadam. So now Prabhupada, they are on a morning walk. Okay, so they are walking and there is a gap. So while they are walking, okay, and a part of that gap is filled with a bridge just to cross. So Prabhupada is using that as an example. So Prabhupada says, now here is a gap. So you can go by the bridge. And if you can jump over, that is also going. That is also going, Prabhupada says. So, to become Krishna consciousness, Krishna conscious means to jump over the spiritual platform immediately. And this Varnashram Dharma, Sanyas, Varnatyag, Karmatyag, these are different steps only. But if you become Krishna conscious seriously, then you jump over all these steps, you go immediately. That lift and the staircase, Prabhupada gives, lift and staircase. By staircase, you go step by step. By lift, you can go immediately faster. Right. So this is the first point. So the first option could be, Prabhupada wanted it as a viable means for outsiders who may not have faith in pure devotional service to gradually come to bhakti. This is one understanding, which is in line, which is not contradicting the conclusions by our acharyas. Right? Abhyase api asamartosi matkarma paramo bhavan madartam api karmani kurvan siddhima vapsasi. Right? So then he says second option could be accepting the varnashram occupations. Occupational duty means that which you perform to earn a living. In the mood of anukulyasa sankalpo as a viable alternative for the modern ugra karma lifestyle. So this is another point which Prabhupada always repeats. Simple living, high thinking. Right? So, but the acceptance of the occupation, Prabhupada never said should be in the mode of dharmasya sankalpo, adharmasya varjanam. Prabhupada says, anukulyasa sankalpo, pratikulyasa varjanam. The mode of acceptance. Don't look at the activity, because the activity does not define. It is the mode of acceptance that defines, the paradigm of acceptance. So, Prabhupada talks about this in the 7th canto, 14th chapter purport. So Prabhupada says, this is the discussion between Narada Muni and Yudhishthir Maharaj about Varnashram. So Prabhupada says, these are the different occupational duties by which men should earn their livelihood, and in this way human society should be simple. Right? At the present moment, however, everyone is engaged in technological advancement, which is described in Bhagavad Gita as Ugra Karma, extremely severe endeavor. This Ugra Karma is the cause of agitation within the human mind. Right? So men are engaging in many sinful activities and becoming degraded by opening slaughterhouses, breweries and cigarette factories, as well as nightclubs and other establishments for sense enjoyment. In this way, they are spoiling their lives. So he said, why don't you accept the occupations which the Shastras recommend? If you are inclined, do patan patan, yajan yajan, dana pratigraha. If you cannot do that, krishi goraksha vanijyam yulu. You cannot do even that, paricharya yatmikam karma. One of these, keep your life simple. Why do this ugra karma? So Prabhupada is telling, is presenting the varnashram occupations as an alternative for the ugra karma lifestyle, but to be accepted in the mood of anukulyasa sankalpo. Right? In all of these activities, of course, householders are involved, and therefore it is advised here with the use of the word api that even though one is a householder, one should not engage himself in severe hardships. One's means of livelihood should be extremely simple. As for those who are not grihasthas, the brahmacharis, vanaprasthas and sannyasis, they don't have to do anything but strive for advancement in spiritual life. This means that 3/4 of the entire population should stop sense gratification simply be engaged in the advancement of Krishna consciousness. Right? Only 1/4 of the population should be grihasthas, and that should be according to laws of restricted sense gratification. The grihasthas, vanaprasthas, brahmacharis and sannyasis should endeavor together with their total energy to become Krishna consciousness. This type of civilization is called as Daiva Varnashram. One of the objectives of the Krishna consciousness movement is to establish this Daiva Varnashram, but not to encourage so-called Varnashram without scientifically organized endeavor by human society. So this is the second. Accept the occupations which the Shastras recommend because they encourage simple living, high thinking. So this is second understanding according to Prabhupada's explanation, which is in line with the conclusions of the Acharyas, right? Third, why should the Krishna consciousness movement be restricted only to those who are Anya Bilashita Shunyam? So when someone says, what is your goal? I remember either I heard it from Gaurang Prabhu or I heard it from someone else, which was related to Gaurang Prabhu, that one devotee, he was very much attached to playing cricket, and everyone was discouraging him, you have to choose cricket or Krishna. And he became very disappointed because he says, if you make it a choice between cricket and Krishna, then I will have to choose cricket because that's my deep desire. But with great regret, I will have to give up Krishna. So, because I love Krishna also. So, he approached Gaurang Prabhu and he asked, Prabhuji, I have a great desire to play cricket and represent India. And Prabhuji said, play cricket for the pleasure of Krishna. And this was a complete paradigm shift for him. So, till now people have been telling me, cricket or Krishna. For the first time someone has told, play cricket for Krishna. So, he was so happy. So, but then eventually, he took up the Krishna consciousness and his desire for playing cricket gradually vanished. Right? Eventually, he got initiated also like that. Prabhuji may remember, may not remember, I don't know. But, so this is the point. So, why should the Krishna consciousness movement be restricted only to those who are Anya Bilashita Shunyam? As of now, in this whole system, Prabhupada very perfectly established one. But what if someone has a desire for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and 7? Can they be part of ISKCON or not? So Prabhupada interestingly comments on this in the purport to 2.3.10. Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udaradihi. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. He says, whether you are akama, a devotee with no anya bilashita shunyam, or sarva kama, you have all material desires, or moksha kama, you have desire for liberation, perform tivrena bhakti yogena. So, tivrena bhakti yogena here refers to jnana karma dhyanavrita bhakti. So, you may have Anya Bilasha, you may have other Prayojan, but at least keep your Abhideya pure. You can achieve the goals of Karma Jnana Yoga by performing Tivra Bhakti. You don't, so which means such people can also be accommodated within the system. But how to do it, that needs to be figured out. Because you have the need for protecting the faith of the pure practitioners also. So, Prabhupada writes in the purport of this verse, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, is described in the Bhagavad Gita as Purushottama, or the Supreme Personality. It is He only who can award liberation to the impersonalist by absorbing such aspirants in the Brahma Jyoti. And then he says, therefore, one who desires to merge into the Supreme Impersonal Brahma Jyoti must also worship the Lord by Bhakti Yoga. You are a Muktikami, perform Bhakti Yoga, as recommended here in Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhakti Yoga is especially stressed here as the means of all perfection. Then, Prabhupada says, Bhakti Yoga thus being the supreme means of self-realization is recommended here. Everyone must therefore seriously take up the methods of Bhakti Yoga, even though one aspires for material enjoyment or liberation from material bondage. So this person who will take up to Bhakti Yoga, despite holding on to his desire for liberation or material enjoyment, can he be accepted as an ISKCON devotee or not? This is the question. So probably this is what Prabhupada wanted by wanting to establish the Varnashram system. So this is something which, you know, I did hardly like 15-20 minutes work to get, you know, these few options. But if someone does some research, one can come hundreds of purposes which could be fulfilled by establishing the Varnashram system, but which is not against the conclusions of the previous acharyas. Similar, they are similar, but slightly different. Okay, so thank you all very much. So this is, it's not that I have come to a conclusion, but at least some direction in which we can probably think, which is, which will in... means of Agyat Sukriti. It gives an opportunity for people to accumulate Agyat Sukriti. Circle, definitely, for one, Vrindavan Forest is available, and for 3, 4, and 7, the Yoga School is available, and through Yoga School they come in touch with Nimai Leela Prabhu, who very nicely introduces them to Bhakti also. And 2 and 5 also, you know, they can come and they can meet with devotees and experience their benevolence, and it can affect their heart. They can also come close to Bhakti, and it provides an ambience which is suitable for that interaction. And Karma Mishra Bhaktas or Karma Yogis can also come, and we have a lot of facilities for them to experience. I mean, we don't have hardcore Karma Yogis or Karma Mishra Bhaktas. Mostly they are materialists only. But they can experience the facilities and come in touch with benevolent people who are very selfless. So that way they can experience, they get an opportunity to accumulate Agyat Sukriti, which can generate into Shraddha like that. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.